This is our study of Matthew. Today is January 19th of 2014. We're going to talk about the angel, and we're going to talk about the wise men. And it's Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, and it goes through chapter 2, verse 12. So these two passages are probably in the top 10 that most all people have heard something about. They've all heard something about the virgin birth or something about the wise men. Last night I was bored and I was flipping channels in my office. And Saturday Night Live did a spoof on the wise men. It was the wise guys. And it was Robert De Niro and Sylvester Stallone. And I forget who the other one was, but three guys on camels, and they were the wise guys. And, you know, they did a spoof on the biblical realities. And a lot of people have heard about these passages. Now, what I want me to do and I want you to do is to look at them with fresh eyes today. In the criminal justice arena, we talk about bringing fresh eyes in on a case and somebody who isn't familiar with it taking a look at it and looking at it from a new and different perspective. Even if it's like these, kind of a cold case, something that we've heard about before, but each one of us as individuals looking at this new and getting some new insight on the revelation of what God's trying to tell us here in Matthew. So here's the bottom line. God will do something, and then how do people react or respond? That's the whole point of looking at these scriptures. God's going to do something, and then we look at the lives of the individuals in the text to see how they react to it or how they respond to it. And then we've got to look at our own lives. What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to, you know, like snow blowing off of the drift, let it just blow off and not settle? Or are we going to let it meld into our heart and actually make some sort of a transformational change in us? So the angel and the wise men. So point one on your outline is the angel appears to Joseph. And then point two, the wise men appear. So there are five things God said would happen when the Christ will come. For hundreds and hundreds of years, he made prophecies about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of his son. And Matthew does a really nice job of fulfilling all of these. Do you remember the five things that he had said would happen? Well, the first one is that he's going to be born of a virgin girl, which in that time was really extraordinary. Today in our culture, there are young women who have children without having sexual intercourse. They just implant into them. And so in our culture, you know, a girl who has never had sex having a baby, that happens. They pay young girls to actually produce children for them. So that's a common occurrence in our culture, but not in the 5th century B.C. He will be born of the line of David. When King David became king, God said that I will, from your lineage, create an eternal king who will sit on your throne throughout eternity. So this child who is born of a virgin will be born in the line of David. He will be born in David's city of Bethlehem. So when we sing the Christmas song this morning, oh, come, Bethlehem, or what? Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Yeah, that was the one. Thanks. And there will be a star that will appear. And that was prophesied way before it happened, that this will mark in the heavens this coming of this child. And fifth, wise men will come and worship him. So those are the five criteria that needed to be fulfilled in order for this Messiah to be born. Last week, we looked at the genealogy of Jesus, and we understood that both his stepfather, Joseph, and his biological mother, Mary, were from the tribe of David. And so today we'll look more at these things. So does God know what he's doing when he wrote his history, his Bible? History is really his story. That's what history is all about, is the writing of God's story. Did he know what he was doing? Is the American way the right way? Because when we look at biblical truths and biblical values, and then we compare that to the American way, they don't fit together. And when you look at the pride that is present and the arrogance that is present in our country, it's not always been that way, but in our culture today it is. And so whenever you look at these Bible stories, you've got to realize up front that it's radically different in the way it's designed and the way it thinks than the way we do in America today. So when you look at it from fresh eyes, you've got to understand that point. Now, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary and Joseph had promised to get married, but before they started to live together, it became clear she was going to have a baby. She became pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph was a godly man. He did not want to put her to shame in public, so he had planned to divorce her quietly. But as Joseph was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to have a son. You will give him the name Jesus. That is because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to bring about what the Lord had said would happen. He said through the prophet, "The virgin is going to have a baby. She will give birth to a son. He will be called Emmanuel." That's in Isaiah 7:14. His name means God with us. Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not make love to her until after she had given birth to a son. Joseph gave him the name Jesus. Now, the book of Matthew is written about the Messiah, the man Christ. Excuse me. And it's written to the Jewish men. When you look at Matthew, you think Messiah and you think men, because the culture is such that that's who you would need to communicate this to. So, A on your outline, your first blank, is the birth of Jesus Christ. God did something. He brought his son, Christ, to be born. Now, is the birth of Jesus a historical fact? Can we go back in historical records and confidently say there was this young man born to Mary and Joseph named Jesus? And we can. We can do that. Now, how do people react to that or respond to it is very different. And the most important question is, how will you? Doesn't matter if you're sitting here in the congregation today listening to me or listening to this online, how will you respond to the birth of Jesus? Or will you? Or how will you react? People in our culture react very negatively to the name of Jesus. It's not something that is popular to be used in public. Have you ever heard or read Luke's account of these events? And why did Dr. Luke write different? Why would he start with Mary and the angel rather than with Joseph? Well, Luke was written to a whole different audience. Luke is written to us Gentiles, and Luke was a doctor, and he went about researching the facts and ordering them in a historical record in a different pattern than Matthew did. His audience was different. His intent in writing that gospel was different. And history says that Dr. Luke actually went and interviewed Mary, mother of Jesus. She was one of the only ones of the family that was still alive. But he actually interviewed her for his writing. But his is different. And you don't look at, or you shouldn't look at the five Gospels like they contradict each other. God writes each one of them to a different audience for a different purpose. And he knows what he's doing in what he's doing. So be on your outline. Mary was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the first blank is birth, and the second one, this was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this fact important? Why is it important that Jesus the Christ was born of a virgin girl conceived by the Holy Spirit? Why is a virgin birth so important to the Christian faith? Well, God's Son was not from the sinful line of Adam of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, as you read Genesis with me the other day, the woman eats from the tree of, gives it to the man. She was deceived. He was willfully disobedient to God, and he became the bearer of sin. And in the very event of God confronting these people, he says to the woman, even though she started the whole mess, he said, I will begin the process of redeeming all of history through you, lady. Through a woman will come the deliverer. And it won't be from this rebellious man that you're married to. So Jesus was free from man's sinful flesh, or as many translations today put it, the sin nature. The flesh is really a much better translation of what the Bible says, but the bottom line is all of us who have a biological father have this line of Adam in us. We have this sin nature present when we're born. So Jesus was born of a normal woman, so he was a human. There are religions on the planet. One of the largest Christian religions claim that Mary was different from every other human and that a lot of things about her that you can't really prove. But Mary was just a normal country girl. She was just a simple girl with an honest heart who was willing to respond to God. Now, somehow or another, Jesus was all God and all man at the same time. Don't ask me to explain how that can be, but I believe it's true. He was a totally human guy with the indwelling spirit of the living God. He was all God and all man, and how he did that, I don't understand. I just believe theologically that it is true. So, see on your outline, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, son of David, in a dream. The blank is dream. Do you believe that angels interact with humans? Do you believe that? That there are actually spiritual beings, we call them angels. In our culture, it's much more common to talk about demons than it is angels, but demons are fallen angels. But do you believe that that's true? That there is actually this spiritual activity between spiritual beings called angels or demons and humans. In our culture, it's quite popular to say, no, there's no such thing as angels. There's no such thing as a spiritual realm. It's all just physical. So, the Bible is quite true and is quite plain that there are angels. They do interact with humans, and they do it in a variety of different ways. When Luke writes about the angel of the Lord coming to Mary, it's actually a physical presence. It stands there and talks to her. Joseph gets a dream. The wise men get a vision. But angels interact with humans. And I don't believe God has changed that pattern. I believe that it's possible for us to actually meet, greet, and interact with angels on any given day. God could do that anytime he wants with anybody he wants. But you've got to look at it for yourself. Was Jesus really born? Was he really born of a virgin? Was he born by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did angels really talk to Joseph? Did they really visit the wise men? Is that really true? Now, Joseph was a godly man. He had strong beliefs. He was a good man. Now, Mary was pregnant. Joe knows he's not the father. He doesn't really know how she got pregnant, but he knows he didn't do it. And what should he do? Think about it. What would you do? You've lived right in this engagement relationship. You haven't done what so many do in our culture, having premarital sex or living with someone before you're married with them. He's done it all right. And his fiancée is pregnant. And all he really knows for sure is she's pregnant and he's not the father. What would you do? In that culture, he had three choices. He could have her stoned, he could divorce her, or he could marry her. What would you do? Joe made a hard decision. Would you believe the wild story that no man had been with her, just God? Would you be willing to become the stepfather of God's son if you did believe that wild story that she was born? I mean, she had this life in her that was born from the Holy Spirit, and you realized that you were going to be the stepfather of the Son of God. Would you take on the job? What would it be like to be the stepdad of God? I mean, that's a real serious job challenge. And from the beginning in this dream, Joe understands that this son that he names Jesus, it's interesting as we read through Genesis how Israel's wives all name their own kids based on what's going on in their life. But in this context, it's Joe that gives Mary's baby the name. The father is the one that's supposed to name it, not the wives competing for. Well, anyway, I'm not going there. The angel said to Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, I underlined that even though it's not a blank in your outline, thinking that that could be a good word for us this year. Most of my adult life, well, actually, most of all of my life, the thing that restricts me from doing what I could do or should do is fear. And maybe your life's not like mine, that there are things you know you could do or maybe should do, but you're just afraid to do them. And it's important to realize that when the angel comes to Joseph, this is where he starts. Don't be afraid to be obedient. And Joe's response was immediate. As soon as he woke up, he went and got the girl. And you got to think that Mary sighed a big sigh of relief when he came and got her and said, come on, you're coming home with me. I believe your wild story. And let's do this together. Now, if the girl didn't love him before, you got to know she did after that. You know, and I think that a lot of us don't do things that we could or should because of fear. And maybe that's a good thing for each one of us to look at our lives this year as we begin 2014. D on your outline, Jesus will save, your blank is save, his people from their sins. Jesus is the Savior. And Joe hears that right up front. And obviously has this communication with his fiancée, Mary, explaining what he heard in his dream, and she explaining what she saw in her vision with the angel, that this Jesus will save his people from their sins. So Jesus means God is with us. He will save his people from their sins. So Jesus came to live with us, came to save us from our sins. So, are you one of his people? Does he have your life, or do you have your life? when the whole spiritual adventure in my life began, it was because Julie was reading the book of John, and she read, you either have the Son of God or you don't. And Jules was sitting there alone with her Bible and saying, you know, I've been in church all my life, and I know a lot about Jesus, but I know I don't have him, and I know he doesn't have me. And she prayed a prayer, and Jules' life changed dramatically, which in time affected my life, and, you know, I'm still in the process of getting where she started. But the reality is, I know that he's in me. And I struggle on a regular basis with keeping myself dead and letting him live, because I want to do it myself. I've got one life. I want to live it. I don't want some other supernatural being living it through me or for me. I want to do it myself. And so I struggle a lot with this, him having my life. And maybe you don't. Maybe you do better at that than I do. And maybe you don't even think about it. You just live your life as best you can without having a conscious, surrendered relationship with him. And maybe that's what this message is supposed to do for your life. I don't know. So they had the angel and the wise men. You saw how Joseph responded. Now let's look at the wise men. In Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. This happened while Herod was king of Judea. After Jesus' birth, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, where is the child who is born king of the Jews? When we were in the east, we saw his star. Now we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard it, he was very upset. Everyone in Jerusalem was troubled too. So Herod called together all the chief priests and the people. He also called the teachers of the law, and he asked them, where is the child, the Christ, going to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. That's what the prophet has written. But you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are certainly not the least important among the towns of Judah. A ruler will come out of you. He will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And that's in Micah 5:2. When Herod called the wise men secretly, he found out the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, bring me a report. Then I will go and worship him too. After the wise men had listened to the king, they went on their way. The star that they had seen when they were in the east went ahead of them. It finally stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. The wise men went in the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures. They gave gold, incense, and myrrh. God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they returned to their country by a different road. So the wise men were full of faith, and they were willing to go seek Jesus. This is the point of the story. When they found him, they were full of joy and worshiped. The other people, Herod and the people in Jerusalem, were troubled and were afraid. So which does your life look like? Do you look more like the wise men, where you're seeking Jesus, you're going trying to find him through Bible studies, through prayer, through meditation? Are you full of joy at the prospect of experiencing him in this year? Are you full of worship, or are you more troubled and afraid? And you can see the two sides of the coin here. And the important part is to look and see which your life looks the most like. So, A on your outline, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. It was interesting this week. I discovered that Bethlehem is really not very far from Jerusalem. Actually, if we were in Jerusalem here in church, Bethlehem would be as close as my house. That's all the further away it was. And that's where Jesus was born, was in the little town of Bethlehem. This happened while Herod the Great was king in Judea. And I learned a lot about King Herod this week. Are these two events things that we could research into history and prove to be true? Could you look back and see? Did the Jewish temple keep meticulous records of the line of David? Sure they did, because they knew that's where the Messiah was coming. Did the Romans keep records of their prefects? Herod was their prefect in Judea. Did they keep records? Sure they did. B. After Jesus' birth, wise men came to Jerusalem. Wise men from the east came. So they traveled. They came to find Jesus. And wise men and women still come to Jesus today. Wise men and women still search him out today and come find him. Are these events things that we could research into history and prove to be true? Sure. Do you believe these events to be true? Do you believe the things that we've talked about? Do you believe there actually was a star? A miraculous, supernatural event in the heavens where a star actually stands still and moves and leads people? Do you believe these things? There are records of this event taking place in 5 BC. Herod kept good records of his court too. So you can actually look back and read that these things historically really did happen. Now, this is something new that I'd never done before. This is a book on CDs. Last Sunday when we were picking up and getting ready to leave, Deb Jacobs asked Steve to go out to the car and get it. There's five CDs in there, and I listened to this book on CD on my way out to Huntington. It's actually 6 hours worth of book, and I had 10 hours worth of trip. And it was really interesting. Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard wrote this book from a historical perspective. They've also wrote books, The Killing of Kennedy and The Killing of Lincoln. And they do the research, and then they write a book about historical events. Not designed to create a belief one way or another, just presenting the facts. Now, I cut an audio clip and stuck it in here. Everybody was practicing singing this morning, so I didn't get a chance to listen to it. But let's see what it sounds like. Well, there is a video clip that plays. Yeah, it plays. Howard must have this shut off back there. Well, I can try. Or I can go back and turn that on. Okay, so we'll try doing it like that. So this, theoretically speaking, should start it over. Oh, well. Bill O'Reilly actually does an amazing amount of research, and the clip that I picked out of there was their historical research of Herod and his interaction with the wise men. And then they have a reading from a 1991 historical journal of the Royal Observatory in England, where they actually read Chinese records from the year 5 BC of in China, in the year 5 BC, they observed this amazing comet in the eastern sky, and how they wrote, totally unrelated to Christianity and the Bible, about this comet that for 70 days hung in the Capricorn region of the sky. And it actually traveled so that when you think about the wise men leaving Persia, they would literally follow this comet's tail. And then it disappeared for a while. And then it came back and it actually stayed in one spot for 70 days. Pretty amazing stuff. They also talked about the treasures they brought and Herod the Great. Herod the Great was a biological, physical mess at that time. He was a very sick guy. Anyway, maybe I'll get that to work better next week and we'll do it because next week we're going to talk more about what was in the book anyway. So I drove 600 miles to Huntington, Indiana, and back to do a cluster meeting, which I thought I could just be a mouse in the corner. There's 40 people gathered there for dinner, and the leader of the thing says, well, let's start with prayer. Everybody go gather around Wilmer and lay hands on him. And I thought, oh, man. Then the next morning, it was just the chief muckety-mucks of the denomination. Same thing. Let's start with prayer. Everybody go over and just leads to all kinds of awkward questions. Made it hard for me to concentrate, but I did get something out of the meeting. Then on Wednesday, I drove to Madison. So last week, I drove 810 miles. Well, these wise men did 1,000 miles one way. And the point of all that is, where was the child who was born the king of the Jews? They were looking for this king. And they saw his star and they followed it. This may be one of the most important questions in your whole life. Where is this child who has been born the king of the Jews? Where is this Savior? Is he in your life? Or is he just out there? Does he own you? Is he in you? Or is he just out there somewhere? Historically, it's true that he existed, but does his spirit live within you? That's going to be the eternal question that's the most important. How far would you go to see Jesus? How far would you go to find him? Would you travel 1,000 miles? They always say they went on camels, but who knows? I'd have a horse, but maybe they did camels. In Matthew 2:2, we were in the east, we saw his star, and we have come to worship him. You? Are these events things that you could research in history and prove to be true? Yeah, they are. They're events that actually happen. Wise men went into the house. It's not like up here on the little table in the front where you see him in the manger. Jesus was probably almost 2 years old by the time they got there. They went into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they worshiped him. So, D, wise men bow down and they worship Jesus. Wise men and women still bow down, humble themselves, and worship Jesus today. The wise ones do. E on your outline, wise men opened their treasures and gave them to Jesus. Wise men and women still do this today. They still give from the resources that they have. Do you? Do I? Do we give generously from our treasures? Matthew 2:12, God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their land by a different road. Does God still do dreams? Do you think he still does that? I mean, I had dreams last night, and I don't think any of them were visions from God, but I think God still does at times do visions. How did the people in the text respond to the things God did? How will you respond? Or will you? Or is it just another time of we three kings of Orient are and, oh well. Or is it going to really make an impact and affect your life in this new year? Will we do anything with these facts or truths? The start of a new year is a good time for change. A lot of people decide to change first part of the year. It'd be a good time for us to seriously look at this stuff and make changes in our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we thank you for the reality of what you have done in your Bible and the reality that you wrote it down. And we can look at it, we can listen to it, we can understand it. We have lots of people to help us. The important thing is, Father, that we would believe and act upon your word in a way that honors you, glorifies you, and furthers your kingdom. And if it doesn't get any further than our hearts being right and us being willing to go, us being willing to be obedient, that's probably good with you. If it goes beyond that, that's probably good with you too. But I pray that we would interact with you in an intimate, personal way because of the truths that we've sung about this morning, we've talked about this morning, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.